Welcome to the Calvary Podcast. Get ready to dive into an inspiring message. Our aim is to share teachings that bring transformation and hope to your life. So open your heart, be ready to listen, and prepare for a powerful encounter with the Word. Let's get started.
I want to share a message with you today entitled, Turn the Page. As we get into this today, you're going to understand how powerful that statement is in your life today. In fact, one of the greatest statements you may ever hear as you're walking through your journey is that one, that you can turn the page. We're going to see exactly what that means today. You know why we're here today. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're here celebrating that God completed his plan. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And then he was placed in that grave. He had completed everything God had asked him to do. The plan of salvation had been purchased. His blood had been shed. God had sent this perfect Savior. And yet the Bible says, if he had not been raised from the dead, all of that would have been in vain. The resurrection from the dead verified and confirmed that Jesus was the Son of God, that he did come and die for our sins, that it was the plan of God. And I'm excited. We read a moment ago, he's the first fruits. I'm planning on living forever. Anybody else here planning on living forever? Say, well, what does that mean? Well, either I'm going to go in the rapture. You know what the rapture is? That means Jesus comes back for his church. Now, I like that plan. Anybody like that plan? There will be a generation of Christians living on the earth one day, and Jesus will come back for his church, and we're going to go straight to heaven. I mean, I like that access. What about you? But if I live long enough to die and leave this body, then I'm going to heaven then. So I'm going to heaven either way. How many of you are with me on that journey? Either way, I'm going to go. So we get to live forever with Jesus in eternity if we've accepted Jesus as our Savior and Lord. So we're celebrating. He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. It was the total victory of everything God had promised. Amen. This day is also the total defeat of everything the devil ever tried to do to you and your family. The Bible says he only does three things. Only. That's what Jesus said. The thief. Jesus called the devil a thief. What do you think about that? He's not your buddy. He's not your friend. He's not your answer. He's not going to take you where you want to go. You may feel like you're doing pretty good with him, but his hand's in your pocket right now. You may feel like that you're going to accomplish your goal with him, but I can tell you he's embezzling your life right now. What you need to understand, the thief comes only, this is what Jesus said, to steal from you. Steal your hope. Steal your joy. Steal your dreams. Steal your family. Steal your identity. The devil comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. But there is a Savior named Jesus who's come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So today we're celebrating that everything God promised is true and available for us. We're celebrating the fact that nothing is impossible with God. We're celebrating that no matter how shattered or dark or hopeless or seemingly dead some area in your life may be, I know someone who's not afraid of death. When you look at your story, it might be easy. I want you to think with me for the next few minutes. It could be easy to overlook that God has been working in your life and you didn't even recognize it. That God has been moving. You know, he's not the author of the pain in your life. He's not the author of the things that are uncomfortable and the broken things that have happened. But we're going to take a second look, and you may just discover that in the midst of that pain, in the midst of those broken places, when you thought it was hopeless and you didn't think there would ever be a way out, even when you didn't see it, God was working for your good. Even when you didn't recognize it, God was faithful to do something, to help you. And sometimes we have to look back. So let's make it very personal today. Let's not just celebrate 2,000 years ago, and that's a celebration because it made today possible. But let's look at what he's doing today. Let's take a moment and take a look at our life and recognize that no matter how difficult life has been or what has happened along the way, the good news for you and me today is that that doesn't have to be the last chapter of your life. That you don't have to get stuck in that place in your life. See, I find that a lot of people have given up. They've accepted it. They've fallen into this plan of Satan to steal, kill, and destroy and assume that's all there will ever be. But today we're reminded that you can have another chapter. You can turn the page. You can find a new meaning and a new reason in your life. I'm going to encourage you today, don't give up. Don't get stuck. Don't accept the status quo. It's this kind of illustration on Easter. I don't want you to redecorate your tomb. I want you to get out of that tomb. I don't want you to put up with your tomb. I want you to come out of the tomb. See, a lot of people today are just redecorating their tomb. Their life is not what they thought it would be, if you're honest. Their life is not what they hoped it would be. Their journey has turned into something that they never thought it would be, and yet they're settling for it. That's kind of what they were going to do on resurrection morning. The ladies were coming to continue or complete the embalming of Jesus' body. You know that he had died. They had taken his body off the cross and rushed him into a borrowed tomb. I like that. I've never heard of anybody else borrowing a gravesite. I've been to Israel 3 times. I've got some good news for you. I went to the tomb every time. Guess what? It's still empty 2,000 years later. And so what I want you to know is that it's kind of interesting. We should have had a clue when they said they laid his body in a borrowed tomb. He wasn't going to need it very long. Just give me 3 days and I'll be done. But some of us, instead of planning on getting out of that tomb, we just redecorate the tomb. Well, let's put a new carpet in, paint the walls, and put a picture of grandma over here, and let's just get used to this. I'm here to challenge you today and to tell you this isn't your last chapter. You're not at the end of what God can do. God can do something greater in your life and help you walk out of that. Let's look at Genesis 37. I told you it'd take me a minute to get there. Genesis 37, I want you to look at verse 1. If there's ever been a story, we're talking about your story today. I'm asking you to take a second look at your story, to take a look at what chapter you're in right now, and to realize God can turn a page for you. God can make something different for you. I know you think you know. We know it all, don't we? Don't we think we've known it all, been there, seen it, done it? I'm going to tell you, God can do something you've never seen before. God can do something that you've never seen. So if anyone had a story that might have been hard to see the hand of God, it was Joseph. Genesis 37:1. Genesis 37:1. This is what we find about Joseph along his journey. The Bible tells us here, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. His son Joseph, a young man of 17, early in life, watch this, 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Now, I could go in a lot of marriage teaching right now, but any man that thinks having more than one wife is a good idea, you need to hear this message today. But we're going to go on. And he brought their father a bad report about them. So Joseph is tending sheep with his older brothers. And he goes to his father and said, these guys aren't doing well. Now, you know how that's going to go. Okay. Now, Israel, that's Jacob, that's his father, loved Joseph more than any of the other sons. So you see the family dysfunction here. You see already this is not a good place. This is not a healthy family atmosphere. Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other brothers, his sons, because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Look at verse 5. Now, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream, what he had said. Now, Joseph had a story. If you're not familiar with it, I'll give you just a brief excerpt that at times could have seemed hopeless, that God was gone, that there was no way out from him. Here he is at 17. His brothers hate him. His father favors him. There's jealousy. There's animosity. And then this young man has a dream. He begins to recognize God has a plan for his life. He begins to see that God's favor is on his life. Do you know sometimes people will resent you when they see God's blessing on your life? Do you know that sometimes when people see you with a purpose, you with a plan, you with God's blessing, they'll begin to resent that. Jealousy begins to come in. So Joseph tells them about the dream, and they're dream haters and dream killers. And they become so angry at him as we read the story, they decide, we're going to kill him. And then one of the brothers says, let's not kill him. Let's sell him as a slave and get him out of here. And we'll tell our father that wild animals tore him to death. So that was their plan. They took that richly ornamented robe from him. They ripped it. They tore it. They took an animal. They shed his blood, took it back to the father, said, we're sorry, Joseph is dead. Meanwhile, he's sold as a slave in Egypt. A man named Potiphar buys Joseph, and the Bible says that God was with him while he was serving Potiphar as a slave. And God so blessed Joseph in Potiphar's house that Potiphar put him over everything. In fact, the Bible says everything Joseph did for Potiphar was blessed. And even this unsaved heathen recognized God's hands on this young man. Joseph is beginning to have a little relief in his life. It's not what he thought, but it's better than it was. And then comes Mrs. Potiphar. Mrs. Potiphar was not a good woman. Mrs. Potiphar began to notice the young Hebrew. The Bible says he was handsome. So Mrs. Potiphar decided that she might want to have two husbands. I'll just leave it at that. But Joseph, being a godly young man, would have nothing to do with that. He said, how can I do this before God? So finally she lies and tells her husband, he tried to attack me. Her husband believes her and puts him in prison. Can you see this man's story? Every time he thinks he's almost getting a little traction, then things blow up on him. He had some rough chapters in his life. Have you had some rough chapters in your life? Was there some dysfunction in your family? Was there some disorder in your home? Were relationships not what they should have been? Are you trying to make a marriage work today, but you're struggling with the impact a dysfunctional family put on you when you were young? Are you trying to succeed in the marketplace while at the same time struggling with your own identity? Are you trying to find out who you are and make life work, but you have this cloud of insecurity because of what happened to you growing up? That was Joseph. And it seemed like every time he was there, something set him back. Have you ever had that season in your life, that chapter where you took two steps forward and three steps back? Where you worked really hard and someone else got the credit? Where you were faithful in a marriage and someone broke a vow? Were you trusting someone and they betrayed you in the process? That's life, unfortunately, in our culture today. Joseph walked through the things you walked through. And now he's in prison. And while he's in prison, you know what happens? God blesses him in prison. Do you know that God will bless you wherever you are? That God is faithful to know you and bless you? Do you know it may not be where you want to be, but if God is with you, he'll make something work there. Right now, you may be in a chapter of your life. It's not the chapter you would have written. It's not a season you would have asked for. But if you'll back up and take a moment, I want to tell you that even in the hard times, the prison time, the slavery times, the abandoned times, although man may forget you, there is a God who will never forget you or walk off from you. He will be faithful in your hard chapters. So Joseph is blessed in prison. And the warden did what Potiphar did and put Joseph over everything in the prison. God blessed him there. There came a time when Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, the mightiest monarch on the face of the earth at that time, he was angry at his cupbearer and his baker, and he threw them into prison. They were in prison, and both of them had a dream. And they told Joseph, and God gave Joseph the interpretation. He told the baker, I'm sorry, you're going to lose your life. He told the cupbearer, you're going to be restored. And when you're restored to the king, remember me. Things are looking better, aren't they? We're about to get a new chapter. Well, just as God had showed Joseph, the cupbearer was restored. And he goes back to his place at the right hand of the king of Pharaoh. And you know what he does? He forgets about Joseph. He forgets about Joseph. Joseph's still in prison. One day Pharaoh has a dream. And none of his magicians and enchanters and witchcraft could interpret this dream. And the cupbearer says, oh my goodness, I'm ashamed of myself. I forgot about my promise to a young Hebrew in the prison. Pharaoh, I know someone. You know, today we'd say, I know a guy. Isn't that how you say today? Pharaoh, I know a guy. I know a guy. Pharaoh says, what are you doing standing here? Go get him. And they jerk Joseph out of that prison. Come on, I want to tell you something. You can wake up in a prison one morning and go to sleep in a palace that same day when the Spirit of God comes on your life. I'm going to tell you, the chapter you're in today does not have to be the chapter you die in, the chapter you stay in. God has the ability to walk into your life and write another chapter. So they run and they grab Joseph and they take him out of prison and they clean him up and dress him up and put him in front of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh tells him the dream. And God speaks to Joseph and Joseph tells him the dream. And Pharaoh says, you know, if you're this wise and you know what to do, he said there are going to be 7 years of abundance and then 7 years of famine. And the famine will be worse than the abundance. And Pharaoh said, I don't know what to do. And he said, but you probably do because God talks to you. So Joseph becomes second in command. You know what I'd like to say? We've been looking at this book. Why don't you go ahead and turn the page on that thing? Let it turn. Yeah, it's time to turn some pages. You see, Joseph was at a place where he had been there and back, been there and back, been there and back. But I'm here to tell you today, there is a walk you can have with Almighty God. There's a relationship you can have with the Lord. If you'll recognize who He is, and what He wants to do in your life, and trust Him in the hard chapters, and be faithful in the rough chapters, and believe that God has the right to turn the page and write the best chapter of your life. That's what Easter is all about. That's what Easter is all about. That no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how bad it seems to look on me, what I need to understand it. And please, let me tell you something. You may have had some incredibly difficult times. You may be walking in an incredibly difficult time. And you might be listening to me and saying, yeah, that sounds good, but if you knew my life, if you knew my life, if you've seen what's happened to me, I understand that. And here's what I want to remind you. In those hard seasons, if it had not been for God, if it had not been for His mercy, if it had not been for His protection, if it had not been for His patience, while you and I were running and disobedient and rebellious, saying, God, I don't believe in you. Do you know just because you don't believe in God, He still believes in you? You know, just because you deny the existence of God, He doesn't deny you before His face. And there will come a day, and I pray today is that day, where you're going to take one more look, and where all you could see was destruction and damage, you're going to see that there was a thread running through that season. If it had not been for God, you wouldn't be alive today. If it had not been for the mercy of God, you wouldn't be in this moment today. Every hurt, every disappointment, every heartache, every rejection from people, God has still been for you. Now, can I help you with something? We must remember, the Bible says, life says, His word is true. It says, God is the author of good things. All good and perfect gifts, James says. That, by the way, that was his earthly brother. And he writes, all good and perfect gifts come from the Father above. Everything God does, are you listening to me today? It's for you and not against you. And what we need to understand is that we need to stop blaming God for the things that broken people did to us. We need to stop directing our anger at God when what hurt you was from Satan. What hurt you was through a puppet that he used. What hurt you was a broken person. And so today we need to realize the Bible says Satan is a liar. He's an accuser. And when you were hurt by a person, the devil whispered it was God. When you were hurt by your family, the devil whispers in your ear, it was God. When you're walking through a hard moment, the devil wants to tell you God did that to you. But what I'm telling you today, if we'll back up from that plate, if we'll take one more look, you're going to find the devil did what he did, but God brought you through that season. God kept you alive in that moment. God showed you his mercy. You see, what we understand is God is working in our story. Even when we don't see it. There were moments when Joseph thought, this has to be over. But God worked in his life. Let me show you one more. Turn to the book of Esther, chapter 4. Let me do this. Before you go there, go to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. Romans 8, 28. We looked at this last week. Romans 8, 28. You need to see this. You need to see this. It's so important. We know. Someone say, I know. That in when? In all things. Who's working? Okay, so that's important you understand. One translation says we know that all things work for our good. But if you look at the correct grammar and syntax and sentence structure in the original language of the Bible, God's the subject, not things. That changes everything. It doesn't say all my circumstances are working for me. It says God's working for me. I like that. It says that things may happen. They didn't come from God. They may have come from a broken person. Amen. They may have come from an angry person. They may have come from the devil himself. Is everybody with me right now? But God has the ability, and only God, to take the life of a Joseph, rejected by his family and cast away by his family, and promote him to the highest seat maybe on the whole earth at that moment. God has the ability. Are you with me, church? That in all things, see, that's what the resurrection is about. Leave that up. That's what Easter is about. In the middle of everything the devil did to Jesus, God was working good for you and me. The Bible says, had Satan and the demons known what would happen through the cross and the resurrection, they would have never crucified Jesus. But in the midst of the tough times, God's working. But where is he working? God's working for what? For the good of whom? Those who? Oh, now we begin to see. I know I'm going to mess some of you up right now. Let me say that in more correct grammar. I know that I'm about to cause some of you to become uncomfortable. Go ahead. And I don't want to make you feel bad, but I have to help you. Go ahead. And if you've said this, I didn't hear you say it, so it's okay. I hear it all the time. Something bad happens. Something terrible happens. And you know what people say? Well, you know what I believe? I ask them, what do you believe? They said, well, I believe that everything happens for a purpose. Not God's purpose. Not God's purpose. There's some things that happened that God didn't do. There's some things people did to you. Don't blame God for that. Don't turn around and say, well, everything happens for the good. No. Everything can be turned to good. By the God who's working, if you love him and you're called according to his purpose, are you with me? But just to blatantly blame God, everything happens for a purpose. Well, it all depends on who did that and why. There's some people who did some things to you and the purpose was to destroy you. There's a devil who did some things to you and his purpose was to steal, kill, and destroy. But we have a real God that even in the midst of the devil trying to steal, kill, and destroy you, God can turn that around for his good. God can turn it around for your good. So as I'm walking through my life, I'm not trying to decide why did God do something bad to me. In the middle of the bad, I'm looking for what God's going to do for me in this thing. I'm looking for the resurrection moment. Anybody with me right now? I'm looking for the moment when God reaches in and turns the page and writes a new chapter in my life. So what do we read? In all things, God works. Joseph, I know your brothers threw you away, but I'm going to do something here. I know your brothers gave up on you, but I'm going to do something here. I want you to know, Joseph, I'm working for your good. I watched you that day Potiphar's wife came on and you turned off. I saw you that day that she came after you and you ran off from her because you said, how could I do this to my God? I watched you when you were faithful in the prison. I watched you when you gave me glory before Pharaoh. And Joseph, I want you to know, you didn't see it, but I was working for your good. You didn't recognize it, but I was going to make something happen. In fact, I nearly missed two good scriptures here. I want you to go to Genesis 50 and verse 19. Look at this with me. Genesis 50. You see, in that moment, in that chapter, when it looks like it's over, this is what Joseph said to them at the end. You know, when his brothers found out he was Pharaoh's right hand, they were afraid. There's this word called revenge. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a word called forgiveness. There's a word called bitterness that destroys a lot of people. But Joseph didn't catch it because he trusted in his God. And his father dies, and his brothers come and say, "Oh, Joseph, we didn't really mean it." Yeah? I mean, we're not as bad as it seems we are, Joe. Joe, please, Joe. You know, we're brothers for blood, me and you, Joe. Joseph said to them, look at this, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? What a statement. But look at this verse 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. To accomplish what is now being done, saving of many lives. Do you know that God can so turn around your worst chapter that what the devil thought would destroy you and end you and tear you up and put you down, that God can actually turn it around for the good? God can actually take that and good things come from it. God can actually see that other people's lives are transformed and saved. That's what the resurrection is about. It means that when the devil has done every single thing that he can do, it means that when you've been forsaken and lost, Jesus was abandoned by everyone. The disciples fled from him in the garden. They abandoned him. They deserted him. He's carrying our cross by himself. And yet, he says, God, I'm going to trust you. Yet, I'm not going to let this be my last chapter. The resurrection means that there is always hope, no matter how dark the chapter is in your life. But it occurs when we trust him with our life. Let's look at that Esther 4:13 before we close today. Esther 4:13. What an amazing couple of verses here. Esther, you know Esther's story? Her family was murdered by the invading Persians. And she was ripped out of her home and taken as the spoils of war to a foreign country under a wicked king, Xerxes. Her cousin Mordecai takes her in off the street and raises her. She's in a hopeless situation. Her story has some rough chapters. She's young and orphaned. She's now in a foreign country and nobody understands her. She doesn't fit in. You ever felt that way? Yeah. You ever been alone in a crowd? You ever had people around you? You got all your followers, but you don't have any friends? Facebook's got a lot of numbers, but you can't find any of them when you're in trouble. You know, they may be following you just to see your hard time, not your good time. You think they're following you because they love you? No, they're just sworn misery loves company. That's why they're on there with you. She's lonely. She's hopeless. Her family's gone. Her cousin's raising her. She has no future. She has no identity in that nation. She can't secure any position. She can't secure any kind of job. She's the wrong ethnicity. Have you ever felt that? I'm the wrong ethnicity. I speak the wrong language. I don't fit in. There's no place for me to prosper. There's no place for me to excel. There's no chapters in my life that have any hope in them. But then the queen makes the king mad. And he gets rid of her. He says, I got to find a new queen. So his advisors say, hey, let's have a national. It was really the first Bachelor TV show.
That's good.
First one ever. That's where they got the idea for it. So we're going to have, first we're going to have a national beauty contest. National beauty contest. Let's see who wins. So they didn't know that Esther was the wrong ethnicity, spoke the wrong language, didn't have any rights in the nation, was really a slave, was one step from being homeless, raised by her cousin Mordecai, but she must have been pretty. Now, let me tell you something. Pretty's okay, but it won't get you to the end of the road. See, a lot of people have charisma, but they don't have any character. You got the looks, but you may not have the soul, the nature, the heart, the truth. So for some reason, Esther gets caught up in the national dragnet, beauty queen. And old King Xerxes says, I like that girl. She's it. Ladies, I don't have time to tell you, but a year of spa treatments. You got to read Esther's story. It's amazing. So I want you to understand, in her story, there were a lot of chapters that looked hopeless. In her story were a lot of chapters that seemed to be no hope. But God was writing something that she couldn't read yet. Right now, listen to me, you see what you've written, but God's writing something in your life right now. Right now you see your chapter, but God's writing another chapter. Right now you see where you think you're headed, but God's writing something if you'll let him finish your story. If you get your hands off the keyboard and let God sit down for a minute, he just might write something you would never plan for yourself. In fact, if you would let God have control of this thing, Ephesians 3:20 says that God is able. Someone say God is able. To do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ever. That was an old-fashioned typewriter is what that was. I'll stay on the keyboard. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or imagine according to his power that works in us. Do you know right now God has another story with your name on it? God has another story that's better than the one you would write. God has a better story than the one you've ever dreamed of. This girl wants to survive, and God makes her the queen. But then there's a reason. See, she not only got a palace, she got a purpose. They're about to kill every Jew in the Persian Empire. And her cousin Mordecai sends her a message. He says, beautiful, I need to tell you something. You need to rethink why you're there. You need to read that story one more time. Because don't think that because you're in the king's house that you alone of all the Jews will escape. So what are you saying, cousin? Let's look here. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. He said, God chose you, but if you miss his plan, he's going to do his plan. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Okay. But you and your father's family will perish. Now here's the question. Who knows that you come into your royal position for such a time as this? Do you see that when the devil thought you were over and done and finished and you can't see any way out, God said, I not only was writing your story, I put you in the right place at the right time to do the right thing. And you're not only going to save yourself, you're going to change everything around you. Today, you can make a decision that will not only write a new chapter in your life and turn the page. In fact, let's say that together. I want to hear you say it. Are you ready? When I count to three, let's all say turn the page. You ready? One, two, three. Say it.
Turn the page.
Go ahead. There you go. Thank you. See, in fact, I want you to say turn my page. You ready? I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Turn my page. See, God is able. God is able. He's going to flip the script and turn the page and walk into those moments that were absolutely hopeless. Let me end with this. The ultimate page turn was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything the devil designed and tried to do, God stepped in. God wrote a new chapter. He did the resurrection. He raised him from the dead. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. See, God can do that. God can change it. Here's what we call it in the church world. We call it a testimony. A testimony. What does that mean? It means the devil thought he had me, but God rescued me. And all this stuff that happened in that chapter is just a canvas for God to write grace on. And here's the new chapter in my life. How many want a testimony today? a testimony. In other words, we're saying the devil thought he had me, but look what God has done. In fact, the Bible says God will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Sometimes you need some enemies for God to set the table for you. Sometimes you need the devil to write a bad chapter so you can see how good the good chapter is that God wrote. What the devil did becomes my testimony. It is the proof that God is who he says he is. Who else could take your life and turn it around? Who else could take your life and take every bad thing that happened to you? We have a recovery ministry for women whose lives have been bound with drugs and alcohol. And we have seen God walk into their life, rescue them, break the addiction. It is amazing. Their children are given back to them. They have a job for the first time in their life. They have a car. They have a home. They have hope. They have life. So the devil, listen, the devil wants them for the rest of their life to stand in front of people and say, I'm a drug addict. I'm going to mess you up again. This is the second time today I'm going to mess with you. But we tell them, I tell them, the Bible tells them, God tells them, you don't have to stand up for the rest of your life. And before you tell them your name, you tell them your identity. Hello, I'm a drug addict. No, you're not a drug addict. You were a drug addict. Now you're born again, saved, filled, changed. New chapter in your life. New chapter in your life. You need to read your chapter. You need to read your new identity. Stop living it. Who you were. That chapter's closed. The blood of Jesus wiped it off. We're standing in front of him today with a new name, new identity, new title. But it's all in your hands. It's all your choice. I have to tell you this. Then we're going to pray. There was a man named Judas who walked with Jesus, who stood beside him, who saw the miracles, who ate at his table, who witnessed him do things that we read in the scripture and were shocked and in awe. And yet that man betrayed him, sold him. And there came a day when Judas tried to turn one more page and they were done. He thought he had more pages. They were gone. And I can tell you, as long as you have life, as long as you have breath, God will write a new story for you. God will turn a page for you. But I can also tell you, are you listening to me? Those pages are numbered. Those pages are numbered. And you never know, when you turn page, it was the last one. And there's not another one. And I have to tell you that too, because that's the whole truth. It's the whole truth. The mercy of God is beyond calculation. Have you seen him in your story today? Have you looked back and said, you know, he did bring me here. He did keep me alive. He did ignore me saying, I don't want you and I don't need you. He kept loving me anyway. And he kept drawing you anyway. But I have to tell you, my pages are numbered. Your pages are numbered. There is a chapter that'll be my last chapter. There is a page that'll be my last page. And I pray to God that when that last page turns, God finds me faithful. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is, what he's done. And on Easter, it's all about resurrection and hope and life. But it's also about you not playing a game that you can't control. God wants to resurrect you today. God wants you to stop rolling the dice today. God wants you to stop pushing the limit today. God wants you to stop running from his goodness today. God wants you to stop missing his mercy today. God wants to bring you from where you are into a new chapter and turn that page in your life. But you have to understand, this day is not a coincidence. It didn't just happen. Mercy of God brought you here. And I pray that you make a choice today and not worry and scheme and plan and keep thinking there are more pages, because I don't know that last number. I want you to stand with me. I want everyone to stand together today. You say, Pastor, it's a little bit heavy to talk about last pages. It is, unless you realize The mercy of God let you hear that today. The mercy of God let you hear that today. The Bible says, some people say it's this thing I told you when it began about Jesus coming back. We've heard that forever. Jesus is coming back. I'm not worried about Jesus coming back. You know why he hasn't come back? You know what the Bible says? Because of his mercy. You know what that means? He doesn't want anybody to miss it. He doesn't want you to turn that last page and have missed your chance. Why hasn't he come back? Because he wants you to come back to him. Because he wants you to have one more chance. And today, what a change. What a victory can be yours today. What an incredible moment when the devil thought he had us. Come on. When the devil thought he had us, and God turns a page, writes a new chapter, turns your life around. I want to pray with you today. I want to pray with you. I want to pray that God will help us find his grace. Now, let me say this. I believe some people here today, you love Jesus, but you're in a hard chapter. Are you with me? You love him. You serve him. You're a believer. You're a Christ follower. But man, you're in a season. Can I tell you, God can bring you out of this season and bring you in a new one. Will you walk with him? Will you trust him? I want to pray for you. But first, come on today. I want to help you today. I want to encourage you today. While we have a chance, while we have an opportunity, let's ask Jesus in our life. Let's accept his grace and his mercy. Let's let God write a new chapter. Today, will you walk out of here a new person? Today, will you walk out of here a new chapter being written? Today, will you not take another chance, not risk another day, not waste another day? Today, will you walk out of here and say, Jesus is Savior and Lord of my life? Jesus is going to rescue me. Can I have a witness? Would anybody say, receiving Jesus was the best thing that ever happened to you? Anybody in there? Yeah. Could I ask one more witness today? Would you say, I say this all the time, I say my best day before I knew him did not equal my worst day since I found him. Anybody had that chapter in your life? So today, this isn't about shame. This isn't about guilt. This is about freedom. This is about resurrection. This is about saying, God, thank you. You were writing my story. You did keep me alive. And I want to come to you today. I see how good you've been. I don't want to waste another day. I don't want to miss another page. I want a new chapter today. That's what today is about. So let's do this. Our heads are bowed. Everybody bow their head. I want to pray for you. Would every person here pray with me? Father, I'm praying for us right now. I'm praying over this moment. We're celebrating resurrection, life, and hope, and the goodness of God. And Father, we want everyone online and here right now to experience that today. We want everyone to be here. We want everyone to go to heaven. We want everyone to have a life right now on earth with that new chapter of freedom and forgiveness and grace, healing and identity. God, we pray that for everyone in this room. I pray they receive this gift in their life today, Jesus. And I thank you, Father.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you found this message uplifting and encouraging. If you're looking to connect in person, we gather every Sunday at 10 a.m. You can also find us online at calvaryassembly.org. And don't forget to follow us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, for more content, updates, and to stay connected with our community.